Well, this Saturday's Wasatch Citizens Race 20-kilometer ski race at White Pine Farm will be the final race for Park City local Dave Hanscom as the race director. After 30 years, he's retiring. Dave Hanscom joins me now on the phone. Good morning.
Good morning, Leslie.
So why is this the one to retire from? Why now?
Well, as I said in an article to Tuna News early in the year, I'm going to be 80 years old in April, and I've been doing this for 30 years. You add that together, you get 110, and that's plenty. Too much.
Okay. So is this the final race of the series this year, or is it just your final race?
Yeah, this is the last race of the year, and I told the Tuna board that I would hang in there for this year, and they'd have to find somebody to do it from now on. So we'll see what happens.
Big shoes to fill, or big ski boots, I guess, to fill there. So,
thanks.
Are you still competing in the races?
I do some of the time. I don't always go out and race, but you know, it depends kind of what's going on with the races, and things look like they're under control, and I jump in at the end of the group and ski around the course.
Okay, and I guess still winning. Do you even have anybody in your age group anymore?
It's not hard to win my age group at this point. There's just one other guy, and he kind of struggles. So, but yeah, it's winning isn't the issue as we get older. It's just getting out there and enjoying one another's company and getting the exercise.
Yeah, and this series has been wildly successful. Of course, we kind of had to stop things last year, but I mean, they've been they were organized 30 years ago, or was it even before that?
No, it was before that. Yeah, the series started in I think it was 78, and I got involved as skiing in the series in the early 80s, but I didn't start helping out with the organization until 1991 or 92, I guess it was, because this is the 30th year.
Yeah, so you've got actually some race history in your history. I mean, you skied, you're a collegiate Nordic ski racer?
Yeah, I was a Nordic skier, which at the time meant cross-country and jumping, because Nordic combined actually counted as an event, so... Yeah, I skied at Middlebury, graduated in 63, and those were good times.
I bet, and then just have kept it up. I mean, something that you've just loved doing.
Yeah, I've kept up the cross-country part, not the jumping part, obviously. There really wasn't much opportunity for jumping, but cross-country has continued to grow and a great community of folks, so I jumped in and started, joining the group around here back in the early 80s.
Yeah, and I don't know when you moved to Park City, but I know you moved to Salt Lake, I think, in the 70s, and did what so many people did in those days, strapped on your leather boots and your skinny skis with three-pin bindings and skins, and did a lot of that backcountry skiing that we do today on entirely different equipment. Can you talk a little bit about some of those early days?
Yeah. We moved to Salt Lake in 1970, and I joined up with the Wasatch Mountain Club, not knowing anything about backcountry skiing or powder or anything like that, being an Eastern guy. No skins. I just skied on my old racing skis and soon bought a pair of wooden Bona 1800s. And backcountry skied on those. I put wax on the bottom and hiked up the mountains and skied down, learned how to ski the powder on really narrow skis. I tease my friends these days on their big fat skis and their AT bindings. Hey, you guys, you need to learn how to ski. Come on, get those skinny ones out there.
Right. I mean, it's a whole different sport for sure.
Yeah. Well, it's a lot easier on the new skis, and that's probably part of why there are so many people out there. You know, back in the day, there weren't very many of us, and you know, we would go out and, well, for example, I can remember skiing Wilson Fork. There were three of us, and we were looking around at new terrain to put into the book that I was writing at the time, Wasatch Tours, and you know, we never saw a soul out there.
Yeah. In fact, that's something you have done. I think written not one, but two of those Wasatch Tour books, or is it just an updated one of the first one?
Well, the first edition was a one volume book that we wrote. It actually was published in 1975, I think it was. And then in the early 90s, we updated it to a three volume set. So the new edition has three volumes, and we expanded it from just the Tri-Canyon area. Actually, it was a little bigger than the Tri-Canyon area, but Central Wasatch. We expanded it all the way north to Ben Lomond and the peaks at the north and Mount Nebo to the south.
Yeah. And again, that was sort of the backcountry side of things. But I think maybe you could also tell us a little bit about kind of the early days of just of Nordic skiing here in the Park City area. I certainly remember the days of Steve Erickson and Jim Miller there at White Pine Touring at the Municipal Golf Course.
Yeah. Some of the first races, Steve and Jim, you know, they were just grooming with a snowmobile and a little track setter. And, in fact, in order to smooth things out a little bit, they would go around. They had an old bed spring that they dragged behind their snowmobile with a little weight on it, and then a track setter after that, because everything was classic skiing back then. And they had a few little races, you know, way back in the early to mid-70s. So, yeah, that's where it all started in Park City.
Yeah, so maybe talk just a little bit about some of the changes that you have seen over the last 40, 50 years.
Yeah, well, certainly equipment is a big one. You know, I mentioned that I was out there on my skinny skis in the backcountry and certainly just leather boots. That I had an old pair of jumping boots that I adapted to fit into the three-pin binding so that I'd have a little more support when I was coming down the hill. But the track skiing was just classic skiing. Early 80s, we started doing a little skating on our classic skis, just, you know, the marathon skate where you keep one ski in the track and you push off with the other ski. But then skating really took over, and they started grooming things wider and wider, and equipment became very specialized. You know, fancy skating skis that were fairly flat all the way from tip to tail with no camber in them, with sticky wax under the foot. And now even sticky wax is starting to go with the waxless skis that have little pieces of mohair or some other material under the foot. So, yeah, and skating boots are, you know, come way up over the ankle. They look, they're sturdier than some of the old boots I used to backcountry ski in.
Right.
So, yeah, things have changed.
They sure have, yeah. Interesting that an entirely different sport. And waxing was so important back in the day that it could really make or break a ski race, and I guess we still see that. I think the people in the classic races of the Citizen Series still, that's, they spend some time waxing their skis.
Oh, sure. And skating too, you know, waxing is really important. The speed that you get on your skating skis, well, your classic skis too, is really highly dependent upon the wax that you use. Some of the modern waxes with all of the fluoride in them are so much faster than the paraffin waxes that we used to use. But speaking of that, the fluoride waxes are on the way out for various reasons, that, you know, that partly because of the, when you iron it in, the fumes are really not good for your body, and partly because they leave residue in the snow, and it's not a great environmental situation. So, yeah, there's a big revolution going on right now in waxing, bead waxing, as well as kick waxing.
Well, I just also wanted to note, and rightfully so, that you were inducted into the Intermountain Ski Hall of Fame back in 2015. So congratulations on that. Certainly well deserved.
Thank you.
Again, this weekend, your final as the race director for the Wasatch Citizen Series race, a very popular race. Tell us how people can participate if they're ready to go ski 20Ks.
Yeah, we have a 6.7-kilometer loop around the golf or around the farm, so it's three laps around. We also have a novice division or a recreation division if people just want to ski around it once. But they need to go to the UtahNordic.org website and sign up, and you have to do that by the end of the day, Thursday, in order to get into the race. We've changed things a lot for this year because of COVID. All registration is online, and it's not quite as social an event as it has been in past years. We've eliminated the lunches and award ceremonies and prize drawings and all of that, so people can just come, ski, and leave. And, you know, it's still fun to get together and see folks, but it's not quite the way it has been in the past, and hopefully will be again next year.
Okay, so is there parking there at St. Mary's Church Center as opposed to having to ski?
Yeah, that's correct. And we'll be outdoors. We won't be using their big hall for our registration and party and everything. So all everything will, you know, check in before the races. We'll be in the parking lot, and yes, hopefully we'll have plenty of parking for everybody. And we open up the fence there. I'll open that up tomorrow, and people can access the farm course from that end for just this weekend.
Okay. Well, so what are you going to do with your Saturday mornings then, winter mornings after this?
Well, Saturday morning is a very small part of what I do.
Yeah.
Excuse me. So Saturday mornings on race days, I'll hopefully still be out there. But yeah, it's, you know, there's a lot of organization that goes on in between, and it's really a 12-month a year task trying to line up sponsors and getting schedules set up and all of that. So it's, yeah, I don't know. I do a lot of bird watching these days, as well as hiking and running and biking and, you know, being in the mountains. So maybe I'll do more of all of that.
Okay. Well, again, on behalf of all of those who have participated in the Citizen Series race, thanks for your hard work over the last 30 years. That's pretty impressive. Anything else you'd like to say?
Well, I just want to thank all the folks that have come out and supported the series, and especially the race crew. I mean, we've got an amazing group of people. Many of them have been with us for 20 years or more, and they're the ones that really make it happen on race day. They know exactly what to do, and they just go ahead and get it done, and things have worked out well. And I also want to thank the Ski Touring Center folks, White Pine, Soldier Hollow, and, of course, the Tuna folks down at Mountain Dell for being accommodating. We've had to move a couple of races this year. And the touring centers have been great about helping us out and making things happen.
Okay. Again, thank you, Dave. Appreciate it.
Well, thanks a lot, Leslie, and always good to chat.
Again, that's longtime Wasatch Race Series race director and longtime Park City local Dave Hanscom. Again, after 30 years, stepping back from that race series directorship. You're listening to the Local News Hour here on KPCW. News time now, 8:28.
Hi, this is Ann McCoyd. On behalf of Chin McCoyd Fleming Harris at Berkshire Hathaway, I'm delighted to continue our tradition of support for KPCW. KPCW has been a pillar of our Park City community for over 40 years, and we love and cherish this award-winning NPR station. We can be found at DeerValleyRealEstate.com.
Andy here, manager at Jan's Rentstall, tuning up KPCW. Rentstall offers tuning services from recreational to race tunes, from winter stagger tuning machines to detailed hand tuning. Jan's will keep you sliding through the season. Located at Deer Valley Snow Park Lodge, but available at all Jan's locations, 649-4949 or jans.com.
It's 8:29 now. Good morning. I'm Leslie Thatcher. We're going to stick with this ski theme. Didn't realize it when I was putting the show together, but there are a lot of fast skiers in Park City this week with the RMISA Championships taking place at Park City Mountain Resort as well as at Soldier Hollow. On the phone with details, I have the Director of Skiing for the University of Utah, Frederick Landstedt. Good morning, Frederick.
Good morning, Leslie.
So tell us a little bit about yourself. This is your third season at the University of Utah?
That's correct. Yeah, I came here from University of New Mexico, where I coached the ski program for 20 years down there, and we won one NCAA championship, and I was coaching there. And I also coached before that at University of Colorado at CU for 3 years. So I've been around the college circuit for a very long time, and I took the chance to get the job in Utah when it came up, and I love it here and getting some great snow.
Yeah, where do you originally come from?
Originally from Sweden. So I came over back in the days. I was recruited actually for the University of New Mexico ski team. So I ended up skiing in college myself and then stuck around, met my wife down in New Mexico and loved it in the U.S. and been around skiing ever since.
Yeah, so what was the draw to Utah?
Oh, it's an incredible place. I mean, I knew it. It's always had a great team up here. Lots of snow and close to the mountains, very good skiing everywhere. I mean, lots of world-class alpine areas, and we have plenty of places to ski Nordic. So that's the draw of the university and the area here in Utah. I mean, I also knew that the team up here is very well-funded by the university and well-respected. So it's a great place to work and live.
Yeah, and I think you then have been then with the three Western ski powerhouses of university skiing, New Mexico, CU, and the Utes.
That's right. And I've been, in the college circuit for a long time. And I, when I was at CU, I was unfortunately won the one NCAA team championship there. And then was in New Mexico. We won the first ever NCAA title in any sport when I was coaching ski team down there. And of course, in my first year here in 2019, we won the NCAA championship here. And then last year, we were a little bit unlucky. We were leading after 2 days at the championship when it was canceled due to COVID, so we didn't get to finish it. So we're looking forward to hoping that we get to have a championship this year.
Okay, so you oversee then both the Alpine and Nordic teams?
Yeah, I oversee both teams. I have a head Nordic coach, Miles Havlik, who I'm working closely with and coaching and taking care of the Nordic team. And then I have a head Alpine coach, Justin Johnson, JJ, from Park City, and Mary Joyce also lives up in Park City. So they primarily take care of the Alpine team. So they do all the planning and practices and everything. The Alpine team, I oversee it a little bit, but JJ is a great coach and he takes care of pretty much everything when it comes to the Alpine side.
Yeah, and of course, I don't know if people, I mean, he's got his start back here as a former Devo and Park City ski team alum. So again, competing, I think, himself in college and U.S. ski team, yeah?
That's correct, yeah. He was on the World Cup tour as a downhiller and skied on the U.S. ski team for a few years, so he has, of course, lots of contacts up there in Park City area, and everybody knows who he is and who his dad is, and he's been around ski racing for a long time.
Yeah. Also, I think you've been coaching then Sam Duprat before he got named to the U.S. ski team?
Yeah, Sam was actually done before I got here, but I got to know Sam a little bit, yes.
Okay. And, of course, he had just a horrific ski accident in December and recovering from that. It has always seemed to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that many of the members of the Ute ski team are actually foreigners. I mean, how many Americans do we have on the teams? Is it more balanced than it is been in the past?
Yeah, first I want to wish, of course, Sam a great recovery. He's back now, I believe, he's with his family and up at Jeremy Ranch recovering. He got surgery on both legs, and you know, he's up moving around with a walker, and you know, anybody knows him, you know, just wish him well in his recovery. It was a bad accident. Yeah, when it comes to foreigners and Americans, I mean, obviously, as a team here, we wanna have a team that can win championship every year. So we try to recruit the best possible athletes from anywhere in the world, and that's how you win in college. But we have quite a few Americans and primarily right now on the Nordic team. We have 4 Nordic skiers, 2 men and 2 women are on the U.S. ski team development team. And total on the Nordic right now, 4 out of our 6 women are Americans, and 2 out of our 5 men are Americans, and we also have 1 Canadian man. On the Alpine team right now, we have fewer Americans. We have a couple of fast Alpine skiers, Keely Cashman, who was in the U.S. ski team, and this year she was primarily skiing World Cup, and she also got injured over in Europe, so she won't ski college for us this year, but hopefully, you know, in the next few years she'll be competing for us. We have also Katie Vestesteen. She's from the Midwest. She's a very good skier on our team. And Madison Hoffman, she skis for Australia, but she's really been spending her time up in Park City. Her family lives in Park City. So, you know, it goes in waves a little bit. Sometimes you have years with many Americans that are of high caliber, and we can pick up a few, and other years they're just fewer, and we have to go and find some Europeans or foreigners to have the best possible team.
Yeah. And you also have another local, I know, with your Nordic team, Sydney Palmer Ledger is how I say it. And so how's she doing?
That's correct. She's doing great. She's a freshman here, and obviously came from a very strong program. She grew up skiing in Park City and then skied for the Sun Valley program for under Rick Capella for many years. And she came to us last fall, and Sydney, together with our other freshman, Novi McCabe from Washington, has really been dominating the women's side of college this year. Both of them were, you know, winning races and placing top 3 in every college race early on. And then they both left for Europe to ski in the Junior World Championship over in Finland, and they just returned. So they'll be back now for the rest of the season for us.
Okay, so as I mentioned early on, we've got the RMISA Championships. That's the Rocky Mountain Intercollegiate Ski Association Championships. Are going to be held at Park City Mountain Resort this week. And then we also have, I think, folks at Soldier Hollow for the Nordic races next week. So tell us what's going to happen.
Yeah, that's right. We took over this year the RMISA Regional Championship. It was originally planned for Alaska, but because of COVID and travel, we decided to try to host it in Utah instead, which worked well for everyone. Less travel for most of the teams. But this is the championship for the western region of NCAA skiing. We have an eastern region, a central region, a western region. So the teams that are here are University of Alaska Anchorage, Alaska Fairbanks, Montana State, Denver University, University of Colorado, Montana State, Westminster College in Salt Lake, and Colorado Mountain College. And I believe for Nordic, we'll also have University of Wyoming is going to bring a team over. So it's a very good field, many top athletes from lots of different countries. It's just fortunate this year that we don't allow people out there really watching because of COVID restrictions. But the championship will be there in Park City Mountain this Thursday, Friday. So we're very busy with a giant slalom on Thursday for both men and women, and slalom races on Friday for both men and women. And you can follow the results on live-timing.com or for the USSA website. So they have live timing going on, which is one way to kind of watch the watch the results, and also afterwards, of course, if you go to the Utah Utes website, you can read all about it and see all the results.
Now, are these races going to be held on the Olympic courses or on Payday?
It'd be over on the Olympic courses, next to Peekaboo. I think they would probably use Peekaboo for the slalom and
Willie's, maybe.
The name of it just eludes me right now, but the one right next to it, the GS Hill, will be the
Willie's, I think.
The one
is,
on Thursday.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Awesome. What's your expectation here? I mean, sounds like you were have a good chance of winning these, or?
Yeah, we have a good chance for sure. I mean, our goal is always to win every meet, really. And so far this year, we've been doing that. And of course, we want to try to win the regional championship. It's always tough because, as everyone knows, especially in alpine skiing, you know, anything can happen. You can straddle a gate or ski out or crash, and you can lose your best skier or your top two skiers. And you know, in collegiate skiing, the top three from each team for men and the top three for women in each race score team points, and then you add those up. So collegiate skiing is kind of interesting because we combine men and women and alpine and cross-country skiing. So there are four different really groups within the team, and they each have two races each. So, you know, lots of things can happen, but we believe our team is so strong that even if we have some of the top skiers, something happened to them, we still have, you know, very good depth on the team, so we can still score lots of points.
Okay, and then, as I mentioned, then the Nordic team, they'll be racing at Soldier Hollow Monday and Tuesday, finishing up the championships.
Yeah, actually, the Monday and Tuesday, we're putting on the makeup race for... that'll be part of the Westminster Invitational, so that will be the kind of the Nordic part. So those are qualification races for the Nordic skiers towards the NCAA Championship. Our regionals will actually be next Friday, Saturday, the 26th, 27th at Soldier Hollow.
Okay. All right. And then, so is it just the top team from the Western Regionals here that goes on to the NCAA Championship in March?
No, actually, in skiing, you qualify as an individual. So we have a certain number of individuals from our region that can qualify. So some teams will bring six men, six women, which is a full team. So that's three alpine men, three alpine women, and three Nordic men, and three Nordic women. So that's all that's the maximum you're allowed to bring to the championship. But there will be some teams that might only qualify two men and two women in an event. So these races are important for the individual qualification as well as for the team points for the meet.
Okay. All right. So, again, how do people watch since they can't be there live?
Yeah, it's tough. As I said, that's a hard one this year. And, you know, it's the same for really every sport. So it's very tough to watch anything. Obviously, people can be skiing at Park City and peek mm-hmm. over and, you know, and see that the race is going on or ride the lift there and look down and maybe see part of the course. But we don't allow anybody really standing around there or within the race arena watching. You can be a little bit outside the race arena possibly and see what's going on. But otherwise, on livetiming.com, it's a way to watch it and see every athlete that as they finish. You have their time right away, you have their place right away, and you can see how they're doing.
Okay, yeah, things have really changed during COVID. It's amazing that we're even having races, I guess, huh?
Yeah, it is, and we've been we're very fortunate. We've been having actually a pretty normal college season. We worked out in the fall lots of meetings to work out the best possible protocols to make safe competitions. You know, everyone has to be tested before they can travel to Utah. They have to be tested, you know, before the competitions. They have to fill out the forms online to certify that they're healthy and so on. And then, of course, wear masks really as long as they're not competing or moving on the skis and then social distancing. So we've been, you know, having very safe competitions considering what is going on. And, of course, best place for anyone to be right now is to be outside and to be skiing. That's probably the safest and best location. So, you know, outside sports is we're a little fortunate there that we don't have to be in a gym or a place inside where it's more crowded.
Okay. Well, best of luck to you and the University of Utah ski team. We'll be rooting for the Utes. Thanks, Frederick, for your time this morning.
Well, thanks a lot, Leslie, and thanks for having me on.
You're listening to the Local News Hour here on KPCW.